coming out of the year with just, you know, a lot of good traction on a company level, but just, you know, feeling like, you know, we really are a part of this community. We're really helping out this community. We're certainly not where we want to be, but still able to be pushing the industry forward and really well positioned to expand upon that in a major way in 2020. Thank you to the listeners of our show. If you're a customer of Squadcast or use Squadcast at some point, double thank you from us. Looking forward to more better.
Welcome to Between Two Mics.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Rock.
We're the co-founders of Squadcast.fm.
The best way to record remote interviews in studio quality like this one.
Here on Between Two Mics, we explore the challenges, opportunities, and new ideas with the people who are pushing the limits of what's possible in podcasting. All right, well, we're back.
We're back.
Between Two Mics, 2019 in review. So what have you listened to this year?
Yeah, so, you know, I still listen to a lot of the same startup, entrepreneur, business-related podcasts, but I'm definitely starting to branch away from that. And so
some new ones, too, in that category.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, just in general, just expanding outside into different genres.
Same.
Yeah. So, like, this year I started listening to a lot more of the fiction podcast that I've been wanting to listen to that just hadn't gotten to. Cause I have this problem where, like, you know, we love podcasting cause where you can put it on and do something else and still get this awesome, entertaining experience. But I've noticed for fiction podcasts, I can't do the dishes and like listen to these shows for whatever reason. Like, yeah. I need to be like paying attention. So kind of figured out.
Imagine along with it.
Yeah, yeah. So my hack is like just long road trips. That's when I listen to these shows. So I listened and finished Rabbits, and then they have a related show called The Black Tape. So I started, and that one's super old, right? So I'm sure a lot of people are like, God, that's 2015. But respect. Like, I'm finally like listening to it, you know, yeah. Following along, and it's OG freaking fiction. Awesome. Yeah. And then of course, Mother Hacker, which I shared with you, was pretty dope.
Mother Hacker's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So stuff like that. It was exciting to finally like listen to more of that stuff and like retain it more and just like figure out a way to incorporate into that, my podcast diet.
Yeah. And, anything else stand out to you from like, from the, you know, the industry podcasts you listen to, startup podcasts that you listen to? We are in both of those worlds. So what's your like standout, podcast in like both of those that you like your go-to?
Yeah. The, I found that this one by, that investment fintech app Robinhood. They have the podcast called Snacks Daily. I love that one because it's like, tech news for like people with ADD that like just want it fast and just like, it's like 15 minutes. They even have a minute long, that's show right. If you really need it. So maybe those are for the ADHD folks, but like, man, it just gives me everything I need, like super quick. And I feel like I know enough to like start conversations about it and talk to people about it. And, you know, like you and me, we talked about with like how Lyft's doing like rental cars and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I knew enough about what was going on to have a good conversation with you about like what we thought about that and if it would work or whatever, or, you know, it's just stuff like that. So, that one's really, really fun. Snacks Daily. As far as the like podcasting side ones, I mean, certainly a big fan of Between Two Mics. So,
yeah, that got started this year.
So. It did. Yeah, so that counts.
It does. podcast Pontifications with Evo.
Of course. Yeah. I was trying to look for a good one like snackable. That. And that's snackable indeed.
And of course, Podcast Junkies, you know, all the old favorites. For me in the startup world, it was, I really like Dan Martell's Escape Velocity. I think that was launched this year. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I like that podcast. And then just kind of in like nerd world, artificial intelligence podcast from Lex Friedman at MIT in AI. that is,
he gets good guests on there, right?
Yeah. So that he actually introduced me to, a physicist at Caltech, Sean Carroll, and he has a podcast called Mindscape, and, they both have gotten, you know, he's a physicist. Of course he talks about physics, but like Lex Friedman with the AI podcast, they get on people from all over the place.
Mm.
So it's because those topics are so like, you know, deep, but also broad, like you're talking about consciousness, right? Or like the nature of the universe, you can pretty much talk about anything.
Mm.
So he had like, on the Mindscape podcast, he had Grimes. She's like, you know, Elon Musk's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Huge creative and musician. So, you know, those two are really, a big fan of those. I've been listening to the Impeachment Explained podcast from Vox, which is really well done. And, my lady listens to a lot of the Vox content. So she got me on that one, and they do a really good job. Like, you know, it's a really big topic. So staying like up on some of that, but without dwelling on it constantly in like the regular news cycle, I can get it in the podcast format.
Yeah. And you actually reminded me that, because I think that subject was like, there was just like a surge and explosion of podcasts related to that content. And then there was another topic, Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ton like that too. Mm-hmm. And I just kept hearing it referenced on social media and other podcasts so much that I was like, I gotta just figure out what the heck's going on. Cause I don't necessarily want to dive too deep into it, but I just want to have a little bit more understanding so that it's beyond the memes that I'm seeing regarding Jeffrey Epstein. And so, yeah, that's another one I listened to as well. I think, Sky Pillsbury on her Inside Podcasting newsletter had like a feature on like, I guess what was regarded as the one to listen to out of all the Jeffrey Epstein ones.
Okay.
So I listened to that one, which was, you know, another sad subject, unfortunately, but
yeah. The Zen Founder podcast also, is a favorite. I like listening to those. Mental health is a big topic. 2019 from a product perspective was really a lot of momentum. We came into the year 2019 with a big launch of our stable V1.
Mm-hmm.
And
what does that mean for the people that may not build tech products like you do?
So we actually wanted that to mean something coming into stability, and kind of the way we defined it was, like our recording engine, with Progressive Upload and recording locally. We wanted a very high level of reliability when it comes to making sure that people are always getting their audio and it's being uploaded, and this recording engine is working smoothly. So how we defined that was in how many times it failed.
Mm.
And we wanted that less than 1%.
Yeah.
And we achieved that in actually like end of November, December of 2018. And then we kind of collected some data for a while to make sure we weren't crazy. And then came into 2019 with with that high degree of confidence that, okay, the V1 product, as we had built it all the way through beta and alpha before that, was actually, you know, had a solid foundation, in our ability to actually deliver on our brand promise to record high quality content without losing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about that not losing anything part. We had already figured out how to record really high quality audio, but turns out how you get that audio up to the cloud is, a big deal. And we figured out a way to do that reliably that turns out is pretty unique to Squadcast. So that was really how we defined stability. That's what we launched V1 with,
right,
in January. And we did a community launch within podcasting, as well as a tech launch on Product Hunt. And both of those were really big successes. And is there anything you wanted to highlight from that V1 launch? It feels like so long ago.
It does.
It's bananas.
It was a lot of fun to have a launch, and you know, because I think it was like, well, what does that even mean? Is it that big a deal? Like, you know, we've already been putting in all this work to building the product to a good point. Like, is it that important or big of a deal? And it was, there was a little pop, and not just like in sales, but just like in excitement and newsworthiness and all that stuff. So that was really fun. And then I had those same feelings going into the Product Hunt one, which is basically like, I mean, what's the best way to sum it up? Like a product.
Well, I don't like even tech, know. Tech news doesn't really do like
it doesn't,
PR
right?
announcements. So it's kind of like a reverse thing where there's Product Hunt, this website, and these tech companies, ourselves included, can like launch a product on there and have a page to like get reviews and upvotes and kind of have this this announcement that then the tech community can kind of watch. So it's kind of reverse of a PR, I guess, approach.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out a way to like summarize it for the listeners, but that haven't been on it. But anyways, it's like it was, you know, going into it, not knowing what to expect and not, you know, knowing like, well, what would be,
it's like iTunes reviews. It's like iTunes reviews for your podcast, except it's for our startup.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But just seeing the community, just come show us some love on Product Hunt that day and like, got another pop from it and, you know, had, you know, we didn't rank, there's like, they rank products of the day, right? One, two, three, four, or something like that. And and so we didn't hit that, but like our reviews were more, if not around the same as the ones that were ranked.
Yeah.
So
more, longer, in depth, and just like, yeah, much more like use of the word love.
Yeah. I would say. So we got to figure out how that algorithm works. And I think we did a little bit, during the V2 launch, but just seeing just not knowing what to expect, but just seeing the community come have our back and like, you know, really spread the love on a place that maybe they hadn't before, not something that's part of their daily routine to go look up that site. So to, you know, make an account, leave a comment, tell their friends to check it out. It was just like incredible. And I think we mentioned that on our podcast about the V1 launch, but still, it still means a lot because, you know, it's, they don't have to do that. And it's definitely probably a step outside of their normal routine. So, that was really cool.
Yeah, very cool. And then that was our V1 launch, much to be proud of and, you know, legit reasons for that launch. And we immediately started building version 2 and threw away version 1 and rebuilt and redesigned the entire app.
Did you really throw it away? You don't got it laying around somewhere?
Well, of course.
Digitally speaking?
Yes. of course. We could bring it back to life.
Not that we need
kind of fun.
It's like R2-D2 and C-3PO. They're still around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There are lots of things from V1 that went into V2, but it is a completely different app. And, you know, all the same recording engine and back end infrastructure to make that reliability and rock solid experience. We just wanted to improve the experience around it, make it fun, make it, you know, really lightweight to run on phones and across all browsers. And really just, you know, maximize the design opportunities to make it as close to an in-person experience as we can. And, I think we really moved the needle there, you know, and to take ownership of an issue that we had with V1, that was fixed in V2 or really improved is the guest joining experience.
Sure.
It's kind of a magic moment in Squadcast. The guest needs to be able to join to even have a conversation. So even if we, you know, even if we can record this awesome sounding audio, if they can't get into the session, then it's all for naught. And that's just kind of the worst possibility. So that was one of the things that I know, you know, we focused a lot on with V2 is that green room experience, making sure the guest can reliably join and record awesome sounding audio. And that is, you know, what we focused on with V2. And that's pretty much what we did. That all came to life. It took about, you know, 5-6 months. We launched it in July. So we launched V1 in January. We launched V2 in July. So built a completely new app in that amount of time. As like a developer, I'm really proud of that. You know, as a designer, I'm really proud of Alex and what we designed as a team around the experience, all the opportunities for improvement that we saw and didn't shy away from improving.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, empowering more recording with guests on mobile, on different devices across browsers, just opening up all those possibilities was what we focused on, and I believe we delivered that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was July.
Yeah, it was kind of fun doing that whole process again, but like knowing more what to expect and, you know, having it a little bit better planned out. Like, you know, we had all our support documentation done well in advance, whereas yeah. V1, we were doing it the week before. But I mean, in some ways, that's even good that we did it in advance, right? but like just everything was just much more organized, much more like... clean, crisp, I guess. Like it was just more, it would just functioned better. And that was really cool. And so, we got a lot better results too, you know? So that was really awesome. We had, you know, tons of signups, right? Like hundreds in days, you know, when we would get that in months.
As a founder, I'm still, it still kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. And then in Product Hunt, we did rank this time. Did we get number 3 or number 2?
We got number 2.
That's right. That was awesome. So just like, and again, like kind of going into that Product Hunt launch, like, okay, like, you know, how do we know if we're going to do better? And then it's like, bam, we did like right away. So
yeah.
That was all really good. And then I think really what I'm most happy about is like V2 came out and it was exciting and fun and had a pop, but, you know, we quickly made some improvements on that like came to light. And I think really, October, November, the product's been pretty in a really, really good place where it's like, okay. Cause like it was, you know, as you know, man, like it felt awful when someone's guest just couldn't join and we just, I mean, it was rare, but it stung enough to be like, I don't know what to tell you. Like this should not happen. I'm sorry. Like, and, you know, that just, you know, you bringing it up, it gave me those memories of feeling just awful about it. And now it's like, oh man, we don't really have to do that anymore. Like that's so.
No, I used to kind of be anxious going into demos with customers and potential customers and things like that, because it's like, man, are they going to be able to join this right now? Like, are we even going to be able to have a positive conversation because there was so much frustration coming in?
I know.
And that's just, that's not a good look for anybody. Of course, we're not proud anytime that happens, but you know, to be able to actually, you know, make a sizable improvement there. And now I don't have any anxiety around that. And I hope our customers feel the same and appreciate, you know, people sticking with us through that.
Totally.
And just V1 in general. I mean, it was beta that was before V1, right? So we had a lot of people using it, who still use it to this day. And, I'm really, really grateful and proud to be able to help people for now we can say multiple years. And, that's blows my mind. So to be able to have, you know, 2 major product launches in 1 year, certainly we learned a lot. We got, because of the podcast, because of our YouTube channel, both launched also in 2019.
True that.
Shout out to Vince. Thank you for all your hard work there.
Mm-hmm.
We got better at producing video and, you know, and writing and audio. So all of those things have improved with our blog, our support docs, our, just all of it has compounded, as well as like a lot of guesting opportunities. I know you were on a lot of podcasts this year. I was on a lot of podcasts this year. And 2020 is already kind of starting off strong with guesting and having people on our show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, to be able to say that we've had our podcast for a year, our YouTube channel for a year, V1 is already, RIP.
It's already old.
Yeah. It's crazy. So to be able to, you know, cover that much ground seems kind of crazy to look back on it. And now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny cause it just, when you're in it, you don't see it that way, but to be able to reflect on a year and just see, you know, everything that's happened in podcasting and then know that, you know, and see everything from our vantage point of what we've done with Squadcast and, you know, all the people that we've seen grow their shows using Squadcast too. It's like, man, this is it's a freaking cool opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, Jeremy Slate was just messaging me about a guest that he was recording who
he had, like, Dan Carlin on his show, dude.
He had Dan Carlin on Squadcast.
That was incredible.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you. And just today, I mean, he was interviewing an actor on Broadway and had a shaky internet connection, but the quality came in strong with Squadcast. So thank you for sharing that with me, Jeremy, and grateful we can help. So that, you know, I think is a pretty good lap around what we did in 2019 from, like, a product perspective.
Definitely an exciting year for us. And, you know, a lot happened, but big news is the Spotify Gimlet stuff, Anchor. You know, that was certainly a big day. It did happen earlier
in the
year.
Biggest topic of the year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you reminded me that it actually happened in 2019. So
yeah, it feels like so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big acquisition. Still, like, I think today,
what's your take on it now, looking in back? Cause it's almost, you know, we'll say it's been a year,
pretty much a year. It was February, I think. I think it makes a lot of sense. There's also the Soundtrap component, which is another acquisition they had made prior to those two that, you know, is kind of got some overlap with Squadcast, but we've had some growth from some of their customers, I'll say. So, I think that's probably in our world a little bit more worth, like, following from our perspective.
I meant just for podcasting though, like, what's your take on the movements that Spotify made?
I think it's good for podcasting overall because there's only a handful of companies that are playing at that level in our industry. And because the competition hasn't been really, has been pretty laid back at that level. Apple's just been kind of led to, like, chill out for, like, almost a decade.
Sure.
And, you know, with Google and, you know, Spotify and, of course, Pandora and iHeart and those companies, they're making moves now at that level because Spotify is. So, you know, Spotify has been innovating, so that kind of forces Google and Apple to continue to innovate. And I think that overall we all win from. So Anchor is an interesting choice. I mean, I think in hindsight, one of the things that was pointed out was the proximity. They're, you know, New York companies, and makes sense with, you know, Gimlet and Anchor being in New York. Spotify has a big presence in New York. So I thought, you know, that's pretty interesting. We've talked in the past about a lot of the focus in podcasting being East Coast centric. And of course we're on the West Coast. So I don't think that's, you know, a coincidence. I think that's some proximity there, but overall I think, you know, it makes sense for Spotify. It makes sense for Anchor. It makes sense for Gimlet. All of the other content shops that, you know, or initially there was this frenzy that everybody thought that their podcast was going to get acquired or their network was going to get acquired or, you know, their Gimlet was going to get acquired. And I don't think too much of that actually happened. I mean, it kind of only makes sense. There's only one Gimlet, right? Like So that seems to have actually played out where, you know, they weren't buying a bunch of content. They were buying, like, the Gimlet approach to making content. And I think that's much more valuable.
That process because they had their stuff together for sure.
They had definitely, you know, demonstrated that they could repeat it. And not everything that they produce is like a huge smash hit, but they're consistent in what has been, you know, a pretty volatile medium with podcasting. So I think it just adds this, like, solidifying, it, like, feels like the industry has been solidified because there's been that movement at the top. And then of course we've been working to solidify the production process and improve the quality and the conversation around quality for podcasters at every level, not just that super uber high end studio level, bringing that quality to everybody in podcasting and trying to raise that bar and have that conversation around, how do we actually improve the quality? You know, is it more microphones and wires and interfaces, or is it actually just, like, the nature of how we're recording?
Yeah.
So I think that's how we focus on, you know, trying to move podcasting forward. And I'm glad that they are moving podcasting forward in, in solidifying our industry and our medium. What'd you think about it in hindsight? And
yeah, I mean, it was certainly an exciting day. I mean, you know, it was just like a pretty memorable day to be in podcasting when that news dropped. Right. And, like, it was very, a lot to be excited about, I guess. And I think it's, there still is. And I know there's a lot of people on the other side that are worried or think that this will really impact, like the independent podcasters in a bad way, which, you know, would be terrible. Cause that's, you know, who we serve. Right. And yeah. So, you know, definitely don't, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. And, but I do think it's exciting. And I mean, as a user, I listen to music on Spotify. So, when they started making these changes to deliver a better podcast listening experience, it's like, I'm all listening on Spotify to my podcast now. It's just works better for my workflow or my listen flow. Like the only reason why I'm listening to Apple Podcasts now is if, because it's not on Spotify. So,
yeah.
And a lot of these new podcasts I'm listening to, I just feel like I'm finding more stuff easier on Spotify. There's that daily podcast like thing you can listen to that has been pretty awesome to like discover new stuff. So, as a user, I have enjoyed it more and I feel like I'm enjoying podcasting more. So, you know, and I'm very curious. It sounds like they've moved the needle on getting more people to listen to podcasts. So that's definitely exciting. I'm sure there it's probably all going to a few, right? There's probably, you know, certainly there's, you know, Joe Rogan gets so much more than everybody else, right? But more people are listening. And so, you know, in theory, more people are going to find these niche shows that really speak to them on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will build that connection with that host on a whole nother level as well. So, it's still early days probably, but it's definitely exciting. And like I said, as a user for me, it's been good. And definitely hopeful that it just rises all tides and especially the creatives.
Quick follow-up question. You do listen to a lot of music too. So how do you feel like that balance has been? Do you now like think of Spotify as both, or do you still think of Spotify as like music and they have podcasts, or is it just like one thing now and that's where you go for audio?
That's an interesting question. I think, so the podcast, it's broken into my share of the ear now. Like it's my music listening has gone down, this year much more than probably any other, not that I'm tracking this, but I'm not listening to music as much just because I feel like maybe, it just is easier to listen to shows and I'm finding more shows that I'm really interested in than I'm finding music, I guess, right now.
Get through too. So
exactly.
It's like, man.
Yeah. So, that is a good question, but I do think it's shifting towards more podcasting and I don't think it's just because I'm running a podcast business. Like we've been doing it for 3 years and I have been listening to podcasts for longer than that. Spotify has helped, but, behaviors are certainly changing.
Another question. Do you feel like Spotify and their like, you know, enhanced discoverability, we'll say, it's not a problem if they're just enhancing it.
Yeah. Enhance.
Do you feel like the AirPod did you get AirPods in 2019 or was that 2018?
I did. Do you want to hear a crazy stat on that?
Yes.
So I saw, sorry to interrupt, but I saw that the AirPods sales in 2019 were more than like Twitter, Snapchat, and some other company combined.
I believe that. And that's why the, you know, the Pro coming out is a huge deal. And I was seeing something, I think we watched it at your house, Vince, where the, like the most searched Christmas gift leading up to this holiday season through Black Friday and all that was the AirPod Pros.
Awesome.
So it's even bigger. Like it's crazy.
It's incredible.
Like the first one was a hit, but this is like a bigger hit with the second one, which
one,
is unusual.
One product in their whole ecosystem is bigger than some, and then unicorns, multiple unicorns combined. Like
I saw
what?
A video that was saying that
what's a unicorn then?
They've been reinventing their ecosystem to be much more. And the AirPods is actually like a big thing there. Cause it keeps Apple in like the physical world, but it's something you like, it's an everyday carry item, right? You always have that shit. And that is, so my question was, do you feel like the AirPods was more enabling to podcasting, you as a consumer of podcasting, or Spotify?
Yeah, I think Spotify.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm always going to have earbuds in one way or another. It just made it much more comfortable without these wires.
Okay.
Cut the wires, bro. It's such a, but it's are a you beautiful listening? Life without
Oh,
them.
Absolutely. Are you listening more though because you don't have those wires?
I don't think so.
Same amount. It's just easier. Yeah. Okay. Well, I got the Jaybird Vistas cause I'm on Android and I really love those things. They don't have noise cancellation yet. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But that has those. The reason I ask is cause I feel like I've been listening to more stuff since.
Oh,
I've
that's
had
right.
Those.
Yeah. Well, I guess, hey, whatever gets us there.
But
right?
I don't use Spotify. I use Pocket Cast. Mm-hmm. And I really like Pocket Cast. I think they had some news this year. They got acquired. Mm-hmm. They made their product free. So I'm a big fan of that. I had paid for it before it came out. So I get their web player and stuff. So I think more people using it. I thought that was pretty cool this year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was my question for you about consumption this year, bigger, you know, which one was a bigger deal to you?
So what else was like big that happened in podcasting this year? I know the RSS debate keeps on trucking.
Yeah. Some ideas around that recently on the new media show, they touched on like the idea of like a listener feed, stuff like that.
Mm.
Our homie Ethan with Glisten worked on the spec for the initial RSS. So we've had some cool conversations with him around that.
And yep.
I think there's some movement to have start to organize a standards body around adding third-party tags, additional tags to RSS, much like Apple does with the Apple-specific tags. So I think, you know, it's... That's why we've been talking with Ethan about that stuff. That's something interesting that's happened somewhat recently. The events that we went to in the year.
Bigger and better.
Yeah. So we went to Orlando twice for PodFest and then also Podcast Movement. We've gone to LA a few times. I think we went for an event that Simplecast through at the YouTube Spaces in LA. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing any events that we went to?
I think that was it this year, actually. We didn't go to anything. Oh, no. We went to the one in Vegas with Vince.
NAB.
NAB, that's right.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of podcasters there too. That was cool. We didn't sponsor, but we had a lot of friends there. So that was cool to experience a conference from like that perspective. I tend to go to a few nerd conferences through the year. So I went to Chrome Dev Summit, a few of the events. I went to an event at Twilio in Menlo Park. That was cool. Small stuff though, not Google I/O or like Apple's event.
So what was your favorite moment from PodFest in March? And then what was your favorite moment from Podcast Movement in August? Because, you know, we don't want to pick between, it's like, you know, your kids, right? You don't want to pick a favorite.
No, but I mean, you know, Himalaya, shout out to Himalaya. They sponsored PodFest this year and threw that awesome party at
Howl. That would be mine too.
Howl to the Moon.
That was a banging party.
Yeah, I think that's pretty unanimous amongst our friends. That was a really good time. And then Podcast Movement was really cool because, you know, I feel like we got some quality time to talk about future stuff and integration ideas with like the Rebel Base Media folks and Alitu and of course, you know, hanging out with our advisors, Jordan and then Pat as a new advisor. So that was awesome news from this year. But I think talking collaboration with folks in the community at Podcast Movement was probably the highlight of that for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, like you said, I think the PodFest party was just felt like a moment. Cause you know, PodFest, what's great about it is you know, somewhat smaller than Podcast Movement, I guess, but it feels more intimate, right? So I think the party was like big enough to feel like there's enough people there to feel like, man, this is a crazy party, like just a lot of fun, a lot going on. And also, you know, having the sushi bar there was pretty epic too.
Yeah.
So, you know, felt pretty fly, but like still felt like, you know, like you had met everybody and cause they do, you know, certain events that are really geared towards networking that really make you feel like the rest of the event, like, oh yeah, I know I sat next to them at a table and I know what their favorite podcast is, or I know what, you know, they do those like networking games that are really, I think, effective with breaking those barriers. So it makes a party like that just like that much more spectacular, where you're like, man, these are my peers, my friends, you know? So that was really cool. And then Podcast Movement, it's always great networking with all the people and stuff. It was just really neat to walk around and just see, like, you know, I mean, we've only been doing this for 3 years, so I can only imagine what, you know, some of the folks at like Libsyn and you know, just people, Blueberry, people have been around for a little bit longer than us.
The She Podcast Live event was a big moment this year.
Yeah, but like at Podcast Movement, just seeing the changes from... even from Anaheim, you know, from Anaheim.
Yeah, it feels more solid.
To Philly to this, like, and from Anaheim to Philly felt like a big improvement. And this one just felt like, man, all right. Like this is a big deal now.
Yeah. Podcasting's arrived.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, that plus the Spotify thing, I think the full year. And then, you know, to piggyback off of that, seeing the Infinite Dial report at Podcast Movement and how the consumption habits
are changing
around audio and also with podcasts, of course, and then also video on YouTube. And that's one of you mentioned Joe Rogan before. That's one of the advantages that I think, you know, somebody with a production like his, one of the advantages that they have is they and Pat Flynn as well, right? Jordan, as well. So I think that, you know, that's something that is awesome to hear and see come through in, you know, the Infinite Dial report, and was a great presentation. And one of the things I always look forward to at that event, but then also, you know, to look forward to our roadmap and adding video recording is one of the things that we can look forward to here in 2020 with Squadcast, is the addition of video recording to the creative possibilities that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, seeing that in 2019 and then momentum going into 2020 to work on video recording and also the network collaboration are the two big things that we can look forward to in this year. So what about those two things? I mean, they're long requested features. So do you want to break those two things down for us from like how our, you know, podcast hosts look at those two things?
Yeah. Well, I think the video recording is maybe more of a, it makes a lot of sense because we already offer that video conversation element. So it's just like, well, you're recording the audio, why can't you just record the video? And it's like, we can, you know. It's just, I think when we, you know, our original vision, and maybe this is just being that, maybe this is more indicative of like where the industry was at or where we thought the industry was at, or just, you know, something like that, where we were thinking, okay, we're going into podcasting, this is audio only. Like, sure, there's some people that are doing video, but like most people are probably not like watching their podcast or like consuming it on YouTube. We want it for the conversation, but like the people that we're serving are probably not going to want that video recorded. So let's just maximize, go all in and focus on, yes, delivering the conversation part, but the real sweet sauce is that premium audio quality. Right. So, but you know, looking back now, when people are like, hey, you know, I want the video too. Like maybe I'm going to use it for social, maybe I'm going to use it for clips, like, or commercials or something, like teasers and stuff. And it's just like, huh. Yeah, that makes sense. And then
it's like more creative possibilities with the same, you know, core conversation.
Exactly. So it was just like, and I just think talking with podcasters, a lot of them see themselves more than just podcasters. Sure, that's one of the things that they do, but they're doing all this other content creation, whether it's through email, blog, video, social. So they just see themselves as content creators, not necessarily just podcasters. And, you know, nothing wrong with just being a podcaster, but, you know, we want to empower creatives to collaborate and still create very high quality content. So, you know, and it's fun. And then, like, you know, going to the Vid Summit conference that we went to, I think it was in 2018, though, just seeing that, hey, YouTubers have a lot of similar problems to podcasters, and they're all starting to get interested and excited about podcasting if they're not already podcasting. Yeah. So it's exciting to, you know, see those synergies and that crossover and think that, you know, we can, you know, dip our toes into both pools and help a lot of people out.
Yeah. Repurposing content is a big topic in like the marketing strategy for podcasts. And this just like gives you way more to work with. So it makes perfect sense. You have people there, they're probably already using a camera. It's like that. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And then to hear it come through in the consumption habits surfaced in the infinite dial research that Edison has performed, you know, just help to kind of, you know, bring that to the forefront for our focus going into the roadmap for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, development is underway for that. So that's exciting. The other main focus for the year that I think is going to happen land in advance of video recording is the network collaboration. So we're, you know, really excited to be working with more and more networks with many podcasts and, you know, a workflow surrounding the actual interviews that actually can empower, you know, a lot of those relationships with producers and multiple hosts and being able to share all these files, being able to coordinate on scheduling and, you know, just helping provide an experience for bigger teams to collaborate together on Squadcast. There's of course the collaboration between the host and the guest, but now it's exciting because we get to we have that solid foundation. We can branch out into some of these other forms of collaboration. So what excites you about that possibility with a network collaboration?
Well, I mean, on a personal level, when I can get on these calls with these different folks who are representatives from these networks or companies that have the need for you know, a team account, essentially, like, you know, that I can actually tell them now, hey, we got something for you and here's what we can do for you. And what, you know, here's based on what you're telling me, here's probably a situation that might fit well or a plan that might fit well with you. It's, you know, it sucks telling people that, like, hey, we know you need this, but we can't deliver it yet. Or we're not giving you a better option right now. So here's what we can do, but you know, it'll be fun to actually say like, oh, here you go. Like, you know, and thanks for sticking around with us. And, and just like being able to work with more companies like iHeart and this other really cool company, Dante 32, that's been working with us. And, so it's just fun to think that, and it's fun to like be on the ground level and kind of see this evolution just from our vantage point and see, cause now, you know, it's a lot, the conversations are changing. Like the podcasters are a lot newer, but then there's also a lot of these networks around too. So I just think it's just growing in all sorts of ways. So that's really, really neat. But we got to meet them, you know, we got to give them what they need. So it's tough knowing what they need and having a plan for it and just, you know, not being able to give it to them yet. But I guess that's always going to be the life of a startup founder, right? We always got something that we can't wait to give to people.
I hope so. Yeah, no, that's certainly how it feels so far. A lot of good ideas from the community that we're proud to be a part of. And these are two of the biggest, you know, requested things that are, I'd say the two. They're the two biggest things.
People
request from us. And being able to have a clear path forward on how to bring those to life is really exciting. Of course, video recording, you know, for the reasons you touched on, like, it's really exciting to help empower those forms of collaboration and high quality content. YouTubers have the same challenges, the same old tools that aren't purpose built for what they're doing. So to be able to like help move that forward is really, really exciting. As well as the network, I think Harry Duran pointed this out to us that you know, network and Skype and Zoom, none of them have that form of collaboration built into it because it is unique to the creative process of not just recording this content, but making something out of it thereafter. And I think those forms of collaboration are really exciting to help empower, because they're specific to, you know, podcasting and video production.
Mm.
So that's pretty good lap around what's coming in 2020, as well as a surprise that we'll kind of throw that out there for now.
Do I know about this?
Yeah, I think it's one of the more exciting things, and hopefully will be coming to life. I think, you know, within the first half of the year, we'll see how things land. But it's definitely, you know, we focus on quality, and I think that it's hard to kind of hard to imagine how we could continue to move the needle in that direction of quality. But I think we've found a way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's a never ending pursuit. And, you know, we're going to stay humble to the possibilities to expand that quality. And, it's exciting to have found one of those opportunities here in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. Coming episodes. We got David Wolf from Audavita, audiobook and podcast production, at scale. David is a longtime friend and customer, power user of Squadcast. A lot of his feedback is woven into the product experience. And Noah Labhart from the, what is his podcast?
Code Story.
Code Story. Noah Labhart with Code Story. I was thinking of the Slack group that I'm in with him for CTOs. Mm. He's the CTO of a pretty big tech company, and has the Code Story podcast about CTOs and their experience. So, you know, interesting stories within tech, but also, you know, to be podcasting on that topic is something that's a bit unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So David, you know, is awesome. I'm looking forward to that conversation. You know, Noah, of course, but Esprit with,
looking forward to that.
Yeah. With the We Are LA Tech podcast, and Esprit is awesome in the podcast community. She's got a laundry list of things to run through, but Esprit is awesome. So I think those are three episodes to look forward to in the beginning here of 2020.
To be coming out of the year with just, you know, a lot of good traction on a company level, but just, you know, feeling like, you know, we really are a part of this community. We're really helping out this community. We're certainly not where we want to be, but still able to be pushing the industry forward and, you know, really, and really well positioned to, expand upon that in a major way in 2020. Thank you to the listeners of our show. If you're a customer of Squadcast or use Squadcast at some point, double thank you from us.
Yes, thank you.
And looking forward to more better.
This has been another episode of Between Two Mics with Zach and Rock from Squadcast.
The best way to record remote podcast interviews like today's in studio quality.
Visit bit.ly/squadpod to check out our resources page, where you can download your free remote interview checklist.